It's time for Cofield and Company. Live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Yeah! All right, here we go. Friday. Cofield and Company, you heard it. Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Griffin is back. Running the controls. We have a lot more coming up on ESPN Las Vegas, including basketball tonight from Mick Ultra Arena. As the Aces will be hosting the Connecticut Sun, technically by the record, the best team in the WNBA at 13-1. It's not like the Aces have been terrible, but keep in mind, the Aces rolled out to, I think it was a 23-2 start last year, so 7-6 is pretty jarring, and they had some injuries, and you know, other teams have closed the gap to a certain extent. Still think there's some roster issues in terms of depth with the Aces, but we'll get some more answers tonight. It's a 7 o'clock tip, and the game is live here starting at 6:30 with pregame on your Aces radio network. Get in price, still pretty affordable. Let me refresh it. Secondary market. You can get in tonight for as low as about $22. But get on it now because tickets are going up a little bit. But, yeah, upstairs, $22. Downstairs, earlier we saw tickets for as low as like $53 and about $70 right now. So nice treat to go out to an Aces game tonight at Michelob Ultra Arena. This hour we're going to be tracking what's happening in Game 6. All games in the Stanley Cup are pivotal, but obviously this one is another elimination spot for the Oilers, at least staving off elimination. Oilers at home, minus 125 favorite. The total in this one, in this game against Florida, and puck's going to drop here in just a couple minutes. Alex White's with us from South Point Studios. You said you sprinkled a little bit on the over?
Yes, over 5.5.
Okay, over 5.5. All right, and Edmonton is minus 125 in this one. It looks like a raucous atmosphere. Actual official puck drop. They've got the timer up there. It's 16 minutes and counting. Strong. You getting frustrated?
Well, they always do that, right?
5 o'clock puck drop. Let's go. Are you big on this? Do you get all annoyed? I'll start by saying this. You work with the Aviators for home games. If you're a baseball spectator now, the last 2 years, are you more apt to go to a game because of the pitch clock?
Yes.
You are?
Oh, yeah.
We mocked on you people yesterday.
I'm sorry.
If it gets you to a game, I don't think it's the deciding point, but if it gets you to a game, then good for baseball and good for minor league baseball for, you know, closing it down a little bit so the games are faster.
I think it's tough for me, though, because working them is so different.
Yes.
So
when you work games, you're like, well, I personally, I usually don't mind. I will say when there's some basketball games where you're like, okay, no overtime.
Right, or football. Please. Some football. College.
You know what? Some of the really close games for UNLV football last year, working them, they were pretty good. So
yeah.
I didn't really complain about it.
You have to remember when I was at UNLV, it was a little different.
And tell people what you did at UNLV. Well, you were at the games doing what?
I cheered at UNLV for five years.
You were a cheerleader. So you weren't working in the media. You're down on the field. And let me tell you, that field?
Right.
Allegiant is beautiful.
Yes.
Obviously climate controlled. Weather really doesn't bother me. It really doesn't. Like, I saw that it was going to be 109 tomorrow and Sunday, and you're nationally, heat wave. That's getting up there. But, like, yesterday, I was leaving the house. I'm like, cool. We're going to be at the pool over at Circa. 103. Good day. But when you're on the field at Sam Boyd and that turf, my Lord, that place was crazy.
Yes, it was. And then it was also cold in the winters, and then the wind down there.
The hellish wind.
So.
It's total craziness. Total craziness. All right, so Stanley Cup starting up here in a couple minutes. And I was going to make the point on the length of games. And they're sort of trying to speed it up in college football, but then it went back on their word because the clock doesn't stop as much as it used to, but then they forced in more commercials. So I don't know if I guess it did go down. The time did go down last year. People did track it. It did go down. But that if I'm not working a game and I'm just sitting at home, like, that's my fun pass. I'll sit there. I don't even know how long the games are. I don't care because I have very inexpensive setup, but I have a couple of TVs, and the entire time I'm watching multiple games, and I'm tweeting and sending stuff to myself, and like, I never understood. You know what? Sadly, it is mostly from us media people where they're like, oh, 4-hour football game. Bruh, you could be digging ditches. Shut up.
You are correct. Watching it at home, I agree with you. Football, never too long.
Yes.
College or NFL and Sundays. So, but you're right. It probably comes from media or people who do work the games.
By the way, if you're not excited about sport, like these particular sports right now, NHL, WNBA, or baseball, then you're thinking to yourself, you know what, I'll take a good 4-hour, 20-minute football game any day. Like, you're dying for football.
Correct.
Right?
Even some bad Tuesday matching games, maybe some we had some rough Thursday night football games last year in the NFL.
I know.
But we'll take that.
Right now, we will take it. I get a little spoiled by the middle of the season where I'm like, Thursday football already? The NFL, I'm not ready for it. We're going to talk to Mark McMillan a little later in the hour, our buddy who played with the Eagles, played with the Niners and the Saints, and at the time the Skins, and did I say the Chiefs? I don't know. He played for 5 teams. He's doing some cool events in Philly, and for folks who know Chef Mark, he was on Next Level Chef, so he's got this whole new career burgeoning on that front. Interesting breaking news item today, because we're going to get to the NBA later on too. And this one kind of slipped under the radar. We were talking about who's going to be the first $60 million quarterback. Could it be Dak Prescott? Could it be Josh Allen with an extension? Jordan Love? That's coming up pretty soon. That seems a little early for me after one year of playing.
Agreed.
Further down the road, could it be C.J. Stroud? So these guys are making money hand over fist. Even if you haven't accomplished that much, if you are a guy who's a blue blood like a Trevor Lawrence and you've shown enough, they're like, okay, we're in. We know how important the position is. The opposite end of the spectrum, though, is running back. And I was going to make it sound like it was like really personal to me. It's not. But I like Josh Jacobs. I thought he was good for the Raiders. He's pretty much a stand-up guy. One of the leaders on the team. Ran behind some poor blocking offensive lines at times. Was, again, a stand-up guy through all the drama, because there's been a lot of drama, a lot of different coaches. He had to deal with kind of the wrong side of the NFL, and that is the way running backs are treated from a contract standpoint. I just started looking at the numbers. One of our hometown heroes, Ramondre Stevenson, just got an extension. He's a good player. Right? With the Patriots?
Yeah, he is. I mean, looking at his numbers, 2022 is much better, but you can't take a whole lot from that Patriots team last year.
Dreadful. He played 12 games, too.
Yeah.
But last year's team was terrible.
Terrible.
But he did. He showed a lot in 2022 when he had almost 1,500 yards. He's a very good pass catcher. I think he had 69 catches. I think if I read that right. Maybe that was targets. But anyway, over 1,000 yards rushing. Again, hometown guy. He got a 4-year extension for $36 million, $17 million fully guaranteed. The Raiders did not offer a slightly more experienced player, Josh Jacobs, anything near that. I almost said slightly older player. Well, he actually is slightly, but you wouldn't believe how like slight the difference is. Josh Jacobs was treated last year like he was Zeke Elliott now, right? Where Zeke's like, wait, well, there's no jobs?
Right.
Or sort of Austin Ekeler, he got a decent deal. But, like, the Chargers, man, we don't need you, Ekeler. Ramondre Stevenson was born on February 23rd of 1998. He just got a 4-year deal with a guaranteed $17 million. Again, the 23rd of February of 98. Josh Jacobs is 12 days older. He was born on February 11th, 1998.
Correct me if I'm wrong. He led the league in rushing yards in 2022.
Yep. And then a year removed behind a line, and we went through the numbers last year. his contact behind the line of scrimmage, it happens so freaking often. He is 12 days older, and he essentially got a one-year deal from the Packers. I don't even know what's the right word. Like, he's still a millionaire. He's made a lot of money. He's still in the NFL, so it's not depressing, but it kind of is.
Yeah. I mean, if you can get that four-year deal as a running back, you have to take it, because you're right. They just will not pay running backs right now.
Well, it's all about the guarantee. So he's 12 days older. His guarantee is about $4 million more. So Jacobs, on a short-term contract, got a decent guarantee, but his deal really is a one-year deal. And I don't know, you know, if you look at a good example of a guy who the NFL just ran into the ground and spit him out, and then he had just serious debilitating injuries and was done by the time he was 27, like, a lot of glory for Todd Gurley.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he's 30 years old yet. Oh. It's crazy.
That is. The hard part, too, though, is I do feel like Zamir White did okay jumping in with the Raiders. So it made it tough for them to make that decision to pay him or not.
Yeah, for me, that's one of the big questions this year. They're putting a lot of eggs in that dude's basket.
Yes.
And I hope it works out. I think Jacob's production is very much taken for granted. Very much.
It's hard to argue that. When we just said it is leading the league. And the Raiders are
I'm not assuming Zamir White's going to go out and rush for 1,200 yards
right.
And catch 400 out of the backfield. Are you?
No, I'm not.
You play fantasy football?
I do.
All right, I want to hear, when you start drafting, how many teams you have?
Four right now.
Four? Okay, that's more than the two I will have, and it's slightly less than the 81 that Adam Hill will have. I'm not lying. We were talking about it beginning of the week, and I was like, what were you in, like 2017? Because he had like 27 teams a couple years ago. I was like, okay, I don't even know what pickup night's like.
Seriously.
Like, it's just, that's, or the day. You just take that day off to do pickups. Now, he said he was in like 80-plus.
I'm excited because Vegas Maddie, a proxy here, he's doing this contest with teaming up with the fantasy, I don't know, website. I'm going to join their league. It's like $375 to jump in, but pretty good prize if you win it. You brought up Circa.
Yes.
The draft party is there, so should be fun.
It's a good setup.
Yeah.
All right. Is that during that whole Bet Bash thing, or is that after? Now I'm blanking on the Bet Bash dates. I think it was like early August. We had Sammy P on earlier in the week. He said in town like August, maybe 6th, 7th, and 8th around there.
I think it is 7th through 8th. I'll be there as well. I will be on a all-women panel.
Really?
Yes.
Now that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Do you know the other participants yet?
I know Stormy Bonatoni, Taylor Matthews, and then Patty. I'm blanking on her name. I think it's Madison. Yeah, it's not right. But she's been in this business for a long time. I actually was introduced to her from my dad. So 30 years ago, she was helping make the lines at Stardust.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I think we know who that is. We'll have to grab her in the future.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's some of the money dealings. That deal came down. That was yesterday morning. An Adam Schefter report. Again, hometown hero. Ramondre Stevenson, running back Patriots, seventh highest paid running back in the NFL now. Behind Christian McCaffrey, who's up at $19 million. Al Kamara, who's at $15 million. Jonathan Taylor, Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, Joe Mixon. You know, it's funny. The offseason, I made the prediction that the Eagles would grab Saquon Barkley, and every time I think about the Eagles roster, I forget they have Saquon Barkley. But I also...
How did you make that prediction? I never thought that would happen within the division.
Well, a couple of things. We knew the Giants weren't going to bring him back. We know that the Eagles like their run game, and they haven't really gone with a bell cow for big money. They had cap room. And then the other, you know, ace in the hole in that one is he is actually from the area. So there was a little draw there. But I thought there'd be some extra incentive. Listen, was this like some source thing? No, I was going off the prediction on a lot of those factors, and also the fact that their GM is very aggressive, and I think he likes to be a splashy guy from time to time. Now, that said, I don't know that it's a good move. I said they were going to do it, but I don't know that it's a great move, because while I was just making the big pitch for running backs, that particular running back, Saquon Barkley, I don't know if I would commit a lot to him because of durability issues.
Correct. He's had quite a few injuries. Looking at that list, I mean, if it's not Christian McCaffrey, I don't know if I am paying my running back.
I like Jonathan Taylor a lot, and he's young. He was a little younger than normal.
We didn't see him a whole lot last year. So
he did get beat it, so he had durability issues last year, and there were drama issues with the owner.
So, I guess out of sight, out of mind. But I remember, yes, he is one of the best.
If I were going to bet, if I was going to go with alternate lines, does South Point have those posted yet? Are they going to offer? They probably will offer them. Alternate win total lines. So the Eagles are 10.5.
Correct.
Eagles alternate win total, if you want to go higher than that, I got to look at the plus. I don't want to get this wrong. I thought it might be plus 280, but that seems high to me. Over 11.5.
So they are the favorite to win that division. You think they are going to?
I think they will win it. And then I think if you're going to bet over 11.5 wins for an even bigger payday,
yes,
then you're also betting on Saquon Barkley being there for like 15 of 17 games and being like 1,800-yard combined Saquon Barkley. So it just depends on what you think of Barkley.
Leading rusher. Is that where you're kind of going with this?
Oh, would I bet that?
With Saquon?
No.
Okay.
I would fold in the thoughts that he might be the leading rusher and then think, hey, they're going to go and have a monster season win-wise. Would I bet Saquon Barkley? I don't have that board in front of me. We can look that up. Would I bet? I mean, is he way down the list?
I don't know. I would have to look at it, too.
We can look at that.
I haven't looked at that.
But if he's, like, top five for leading rusher, no, I'm not doing that.
But I mean, your angle. You're going for a big plus price because, really, the Eagles to win the division is just plus money. Not really worth it. But if you go above 11.5, good plus money there.
It's a lot of wins.
It is a lot of wins. But they did have, 12 going into December before they fell apart?
They were on fire. So I think they're closer to the team they were at the beginning, two-thirds of the season than the latter. And I also, do you think the Giants and the Commanders are going to be good? Can either be over 7 wins?
Oh, the Giants is so tough. I mean, their defense was really good last year. Kept them in games. We don't know what's going to happen with Daniel Jones. I mean, he got paid. And then he really struggled before his injury.
I'll tell you what, I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot ball on the win total. It's what is the win total?
6.5.
So 6.5. So this was another alternate win total we talked about. Their alternate, if you want to go lower, Fezzik, who's a two-time winner of the Superbook Super Contest, it's a good bettor. And he was getting all juiced up over the under 5.5 with a plus number. But the problem is I don't trust the Giants' mission. This is going to sound weird. What are they trying to do this year? What are they trying to do? Is Brian Daboll the coach for 2 or 3 years from here? Or is he actually on the hot seat? How can he be on the hot seat when you don't have your quarterback position settled?
Right.
And their goal should be, let's try to compete. We'll give, if he's healthy, like 8 games to Daniel Jones. Maybe he's what we thought he could be or whatever his name is there. I almost said Ernie Accorsi, which was like a GM from 50 years ago, but 30 years ago. Gettleman. Gettleman obviously thought Jones was going to be really good. So you're paying the money. You give Daniel Jones 8 games. You know, if you're out to a decent start, then the mission of the season is try to win games. Try to win 8, 9, 10 games. If he sucks and then Drew Locke is in or there's injuries and they're sitting at like freaking 2-6, then pull the plug. Right? And that's where that whole win total thing, like I don't know what's going to happen with Daniel Jones and their health because they could probably be pretty decent.
Right.
But not if the quarterback blows. If the quarterback stinks, it is time to get a quarterback, and that means tanking and trying to win 3 games.
The other tough thing is their offense really did go through Saquon Barkley, and now with him gone, that is a whole other question mark. But And Dable, if he is on the hot seat, if they are losing, he's not going to try and lose games. He's not going to take.
So there's so many factors here. God, you wish you knew with the organization. And, the Raiders are confusing as well. So, we're going to get, believe me, we'll have a lot of Raiders prognostications here over the next 10 weeks or so before the season kicks off.
Hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
I'm in La La Land. We got the puck drop in here. Just started Oilers and Edmonton. Edmonton slight favorite in the game. The total's 5.5. Got the sound on here. Just heard the anthems blaring. Here is the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Treasure Island. Free parking on the strip. Unheard of. And a really cool menu here. Appetizers. Grab the mini pork bites. They're delightful. That's a good word for pork bites. Reuben and a beer. Or fish and chips and a beer. Plus dozens of other items. This particular crew. Well, maybe not James. We've had people on Cofield & Company who really like the chicken salad, which is not a thing you get at a lot of sports bars, but it's very good here.
Good to know.
It's very good here. Alex White's with us.
I forgot to ask you, too. Do you have a lean on this game, Florida or Edmonton?
No.
Okay.
No. A rooting lean, which is Edmonton.
Because you want the McDavids.
I want that drama, and I want the McDavids, yes. They're going to... I want more details on that story. McDonald's in somewhere in Canada was talking about changing one of its restaurants from McDonald's to McDavid's. I feel like there should be some sort of throwback. Last cup for anyone in Canada, 93?
I know it's been 30 years, so.
So there you go, 93. How about do McDavid's does 1993 prices.
Whoa.
For a week.
Wow.
Take a hit, Mickey D's. Take a hit.
That's good.
That would be good pub. And you know what? Screw it. Well, I don't want to have vandalism. I was going to say take a Miami area, and really they're more like Lauderdale area. Sunrise? Is that where it is? Sunrise.
Sunrise. Bar?
Yeah, Sunrise area McDonald's. Make that a McDavid's. Maybe not. That get ugly. Although, from what I heard, the Panther fans really weren't like super passionate. Which I guess is that a bad thing when you're like, oh, these hockey fans are weak. They wouldn't vandalize a restaurant. The Canadian fans would vandalize a restaurant, and it was called the Kachucks. Stream of stupidity.
I know some Florida fans that are pretty passionate.
Yeah.
Right now. Yeah.
Okay. Are they from Florida or randomly became Panther fans somehow?
Live in Florida now. I'm not sure if they are from there or relocated there, but
we got our summer fun going on right now at ESPN Las Vegas and Lotus Broadcasting. It's brought to you by Planet Nissan. You want to text in the code word of the day. Today's code word is train. You have a chance to qualify, last chance to qualify for this week's trip. We're giving away 8 trips in 8 weeks. This trip is a trip to Liverpool. 4 days, 3 nights. Home of the Beatles. Liverpool, England. Cool. All you got to do is text in, use the 702-364-1100, 702-364-1100. Send a text and write train. If I'm very dramatic about what the Lakers have done, we weren't very dramatic yesterday when it came down, but the more I thought about it, there is a very boom or bust deal here with J.J. Redick. If I want to scream like, what have the Lakers done here? Are you more on that side? Do you think this is a good hire?
I don't know. I think it's a mess that how many coaches they have been through since, I don't know, in the last 10 years or so. So going with this route with somebody who has no coaching experience, pretty risky. And I'm very confused. Like, is LeBron James staying or not? Because I thought that was part of the reason why they are hiring him.
Well, Rich Paul is kind of playing some games. He did say the other day, in talking about Bronny, he said, if the Lakers don't get Bronny, it's not a deal buster. Doesn't mean that LeBron is so hell-bent on playing with his son that he'll leave. But then he flipped it around and said, well, if they do get him, though, in the draft, that doesn't mean that LeBron is definitely staying. And you're like, okay. But that's the way you play the game when you're an agent, and they should keep options open.
Right.
I think. I mean, there can't be a more cooperative organization in this case than going, all right, LeBron, you're doing a podcast with a guy. You've grown to like him. We'll hire your coach. Are you going to stay now?
Right.
That would be pretty epic if the Lakers hired a guy with no coaching experience. And I think he's got a pedigree, and I think he's got a chance to be good. But if you hired a guy with no coaching experience, and then the player who seemingly wants him is like, you know what, it wasn't that important to me. Yeah.
Right.
You better not. That would be, the rest of the NBA would laugh at the Lakers. That would easily surpass the worst thing. And LeBron hasn't done, people are crazy about on the LeBron James story. He really hasn't committed any cardinal sins. The decision was clunky. This would be way worse than the decision. If he turned around, he's like, yeah, I'm not that sold. Sorry. Like, what? We hired Redick.
It feels like he wants to retire a Laker, doesn't it? I mean, that is why he made this decision to go there.
I guess. I think he's comfortable being in L.A. He was comfortable with the notion of following in Kobe's footsteps and a legacy organization and maybe getting him back on track, and he sort of did. I don't know what he wants. I don't. I'm a big LeBron James fan. I'm not a big fan of him having this much control, but that's reality in the NBA, and it has been for like 40 years now, going back to Magic Johnson, you know, basically deciding who the coach was going to be, and they wound up picking, in the end, the right guy. It settled on Pat Riley. But, yeah, LeBron throws me off a little bit. I know this. If you talk to Laker fans, you know some Laker fans?
No, not really.
I don't know that. I haven't seen a poll on this. I don't know that I could say 25% of them like really like LeBron James. I think it's 75% are like, I mean, thanks for the title. That was cool.
Right.
But like, what are you doing? And he's fine. And again, he chose to follow in the footsteps of Kobe Bryant, and then Kobe passes away. And now Kobe's held at this new standard that you could never believe. And most of what LeBron does with the Lakers is never going to be up to snuff.
It's so true, yes.
So he's in this weird position. Would I go somewhere else? Well, I'll say that I'm not a family person, which sounds weird. Like, I assume my significant other would go with me. I think she would. But I don't have kids. And in this case, I'm not starting up, you know, my Hollywood dreams or whatever all those projects are. I could probably do that from anywhere. Yeah, I would go somewhere for the last 2 years and try to win. But he has to also let that, if he's going to go somewhere else, that it's got to be a place with a good GM. It's got to be a place where that GM has power, and LeBron's like, I trust you to build the right team around me, or I'm being added to a team. And I don't think LeBron and Clutch trust Rob Pelinka or Jeannie Buss.
Does a team even exist, and a GM exist that he does trust? Now that he has had
not,
this
not
power.
That he's, yeah, I mean, not good. Keep going.
No, I just mean.
Right. Like, now he has so much power, and then he's backed up by an agent who the other day said, you know, if I wanted Bronny to be guaranteed to the Lakers, I'd make the Lakers pick him at 17. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
This is starting to get insane. It's so silly. Now, with that, we can have fun for a week and a half here, or however long it takes him to come to an agreement or announce that he's going to stay. Colin Cowherd did that today. Listen to Herd here talk about, because we haven't even mentioned what J.J. Redick means to Anthony. Like, if Anthony Davis is like, wait, what? He doesn't have any experience. I don't know if I want to be around this guy. But Herd started working the trade rumors as he was coming up with a plan to deal AD.
What is an organization with a ton of draft capital, a bunch of good young players, which the Lakers have nobody in their prime, except AD, and it's a late prime. The Lakers need shooters, wing defenders. Think about Oklahoma City. Skinny Chet Holmgren. They don't have enough girth to face a Jokic. They need a big.
Okay, basic premise kind of makes sense.
So they need a big other than AD?
OKC needs a big. So he's matching up Oklahoma City with the Lakers to trade Anthony Davis, get a young scorer in Williams, get a young defender, and then also trade for four first-round picks. But I don't understand how that meshes with LeBron.
Right.
Because is LeBron ready to not have his center? I mean, I assume they could go out and get someone. There's a lot of guys on the free agent market. It's going to cost them. They're going to have to get some bigs. But this is sort of playing the middle road. Like, hey, LeBron, we're going to get you some defensive players so that we can win as the Lakers. But, you know, the second fiddle is going to be gone. Like, I don't think he's going to tolerate that.
I don't either. It's very interesting. A lot could happen. And, sorry, Edmonton scored. So Edmonton, I was listening to Gohard halfway there. Yeah. Missed a little
I didn't see who had the goal. So it's 1-0, 12 minutes left in the first. Edmonton up early, and now that place is going batty, completely batty. But what this count? Because I don't think that's going to happen. I don't. I mean, if they did that, then, well, they don't have the rights to LeBron, so they can't trade LeBron. I guess they could do a sign and trade. To me, that would signal a rebuild. It'd be a good deal for OKC. That piece of audio there, and he did like a 4-minute piece. He did more than that, but they clipped about a 4-minute piece on Herd over on Fox Sports Radio, our sister station. Really, that was more about informing people how close Oklahoma City is. I don't know if you agree with that. What do you think? How close are they being to the top of the West?
We kind of talked about this. I mean, the West is so stacked. I mean, he makes a good point. I mean, we have Chet there, but besides that, they really do need...
Yeah, if you have Chet, Chet's a stretch. You have Chet, you have AD, who wants to be a stretch most of the time, but as he gets older, he should be closer to the basket. You've got SGA, who's a star. You've got plenty of other good pieces there. You've got all this draft capital. Like, is Sam Presti's plan just to keep drafting young guys and keep nailing it, too, by the way? Like,
right.
If he keeps nailing it to the level of Holmgren and SGA, that'd be great, but there is a point where you just can't use all the draft picks. They have, this year, they have number 12. Next year, they have 4 first-round picks. You would think that signals that Oklahoma City is probably going to take at least a few of those first-round picks and spin it for either a mid-level player or a really good player from a team that
Absolutely.
Has made a decision, hey, it's not going to happen, let's move on. It's fascinating. But the Lakers' place in this whole thing, I don't know. It comes down to I'm sure J.J. Redick and LeBron talked about, hey, how are we going to build this team? Without Rob Pelinka within earshot, which I think is amazing. So Redick essentially comes in with more power than the freaking GM. We already know Rich Paul seems to have more power than the GM with the Lakers. I mean, they could go out and I guess they could spend to their heart's delight, go way over the cap and, you know, do the luxury tax thing. And I said the other day, I don't think Dallas is winning with the combo of Luka and Kyrie. And my bigger concern is I think this is good guy Kyrie. And I don't know if you're going to get good guy Kyrie every year. I think he's at his peak right now again. Not to where he was, say, 5 years ago in terms of trade value. He's a guy that people will want to attain. And the Lakers could have some interest.
That's a good point. I do think I agree with you. He is at the peak value right now if you are going to trade him. It's funny, though, talking about all these teams in the West, it feels like the Lakers are so far from being the best in the West again, right? With Dallas.
And they're a playing team.
There. Yeah. I know, they were. But, I mean, Minnesota, don't forget about Denver. There's so many. And even, we don't know what the Clippers are going to do yet. I assume they try and run it back.
Yeah, I would bet Denver for the title. One, they've got a pedigree, too. I think there's going to be an incredible sense of urgency, and they're going to make right moves. Not that they made bad moves. They tried to go ultra cheap last year and go with a lot of young dudes on the wing and rely on those guys. But a lot of times the head coach gets to a point and he's like, I can't do this with the young guys. So they've got to get more experienced players. Although they may lose another good player in KCP, who's definitely rebounded his value because I think he's going to get some big offers out there. So, yeah, around the West, I don't know what the best approach is. I don't think the big splash is the best approach. I think it's about team building and experienced players and making sure you can play D. But I don't trust the Lakers to have the patience and nail, like, 3 acquisitions.
Correct.
I mean, we just saw...
Which is what really matters, right?
It doesn't, of course.
So J.J. Redick is kind of just a pawn in all of this, and it just matters what they do in the offseason.
Yes. Yes. I don't think there are... Are there truly horrible coaches in the NBA? Probably a few. The rest, a lot of it comes down to the roster, the personnel, making sure you can play defense. The roster has to be, you know, long and lengthy, probably multiple options at point guard. To get out of the West, you got to be able to defend Jokic. But, you know, with the Lakers, who the hell knows? We saw a good example of how kind of flippant the Lakers were with a player from their championship year. They just moved on from KCP back then. You know, they moved on from KCP, they moved on from Alex Caruso and tried to go for bigger names, and they built a clunky roster. And now I've never seen this many NBA people, especially now, I think it happens now because of analytics, this many NBA people smash a deal that normally wouldn't get much attention. Have you seen anyone who's like, you know what, the Bulls getting Josh Giddey for Caruso, great move. Like, everyone is annihilating the Bulls for taking Josh Giddey and getting rid of Caruso.
Oh yeah, that made the headlines today.
Right? And it's not a slow time. I mean, I know it's the first deal that's been made. Was there another? No, there were rumors about Siakam. But I really enjoyed reading people have an appreciation for Alex Caruso.
Yeah.
Because he's a good defender. And he's a guy who's going to come in and fill that whatever role, that
right.
sixth to eighth player role. And for a team like OKC, it's probably the right thing to do.
Yes, definitely.
Actually, I don't hate it from the Bulls standpoint. But
you don't?
No, but you know what? I want to get someone on who really covers the NBA on Josh Giddey to go over his warts. What were you showing me? What was this one? Oh, Thunder GM claims. We'll have to get the source, but... Thunder GM claims that Josh Giddey didn't want to come off the bench and requested a trade. All right. I mean, he's also 21. He's a 6'8" point guard who averaged 12, 6, and 5. So, there's some upside there. But
yeah.
For OKC, who now we were to, you know, 5 minutes ago we started down this whole path because of Howard. You know, there's a time where you have young guys and, you know, maybe you look at it and you're like, okay, now we're ready to turn the corner and start moving upward with some experienced players. So, Alex White is here. Cofield, we're at Treasure Island. Let's come back. We'll close things out. In the grab bag, a little more on J.J. Redick, and we'll get you the latest update on Game 6 in the Stanley Cup.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Well, I forget. I often forget. There is weather in other parts of the country. It's not just the same 100-degree day as it is here. During most of the baseball season, Tigers and White Sox. That one's done. There was weather earlier. Rain is weird. We never get it. 2-1. Was that Eric Fetty on the mound for the White Sox?
Yes, it was.
Ah, damn it. On the wrong side of things.
You, the person you're going against in your fantasy team?
No.
Oh.
No. We were talking about Eric Fetty in the first hour. Well, we went through a whole list. Last week was the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame induction ceremony. And we were projecting, with the explosion of professional sports and up to the major leagues, we were talking about the emergence of all these stars and, you know, good players in all these leagues and whether they're born here and then playing in the majors or they play here. There's going to be a lot of candidates for the Hall of Fame. And I said, it's not a long shot that Eric Fetty's career is starting to really develop here. And he has a chance. You know, he's really a hometown guy.
Yes.
He's been good this year.
Yes, he's been very good for the Chicago White Sox. And he went and played overseas last year, came back, signed with them, and has been really one of their only bright sides. Him and they've got one other really good pitcher.
Garrett Crochet.
Yep.
Fetty today, UNLV guy. Las Vegas high school guy. 7 innings, 5 hits, 2 runs. They had shown a graphic up during the White Sox-Tigers game about, you know, he and Bryce Harper playing baseball together, which is crazy because Harper made it real quick.
Yes.
Because he didn't have to go the the four-year college route. He was ready to go after, at 17 years old, after a year in JUCO, which is still one of the more incredible things we've ever seen.
Well, what about our other UNLV Rebel in Bryson Stott? I mean, he really took the fast track, too. He didn't play a whole lot of
He missed a freaking year because of COVID, too. So his development, he may have been up even earlier. I was checking to see what he was doing. They're down 4-2. Stott actually didn't start today. Yeah, Trey Turner back, had a home run, but Zona leads at 4-2 in the top of the sixth. Indiana Fever playing right now. Aces are coming up. We're going to give a preview of the Aces real quickly before we get out of here. Alex White's with us. So what's going on with Caitlin Clark?
Fever, impressive lead right now, 62-47 over the Atlanta Dream. Now, the Dream are pretty banged up, but, I mean, really, Kelsey Mitchell giving them 17 points. They have 12 from the bench right now. Caitlin Clark just 9 points, but, of course, her 5 assists, 3 rebounds, and Aaliyah Boston, a little bit slower start for her as well, 6 points, 6 rebounds. But, yeah, it's looking good. They were about a 3-point favorite on the road here.
But it flipped.
Well,
I think they were a dog. I think they were a dog in the opener, right? I think they were like plus one.
There's a possibility. But once Ryan Howard for the Dream was officially out, then that definitely flipped the line there. But
yeah, Caitlin Clark right now deemed by many a failure. 16.6 rebounds. Check that, 16.6 rebounds and 5 assists per game. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
She's been fine. And, you know what, I'll admit, I freaked out a bit early because I was getting really annoyed at how disorganized a side's coach team looked. I was like, maybe they need to move on. To be fair, the group also didn't have any time to practice. And they also dealt them, like, kind of a ridiculous schedule coming out of the gates.
So unfair.
So.
Yes.
It's even out. So they have a chance today to move to what? 7-10?
Yes.
Same amount of wins as the Aces.
And this
not
is
not as
team,
good as the Aces.
This is a team that had the first round pick the last 2 years. Yeah. Right? So I mean they have been down trying to really build with those two first round picks in Aaliyah Boston and Caitlin Clark.
But. Aces 5 tonight against the Sun at home. Sun are 13-1. What'd you see with Chelsea Gray back? What'd you like about the game the other day? Or not like?
Oh, my gosh. Well, she definitely gave them life, even though, I mean, the stat sheet doesn't really say it, but you could just tell by the way they were playing. Tonight should be a great game. I'm looking forward to watching this one. I mean, I love this Connecticut Sun roster, and they are a really good team. Alyssa Thomas and Bonner and Carrington, I'm missing a few, but then Asia Wilson is so good. So we'll see how they match up against the Aces and if they have really flipped that switch.
You know, it's kind of funny. I forgot the kind of game that Chelsea Gray has. One, this means you now have your 2-point guards back again. So 2-point guards on the floor can be a big bonus. The different styles of the two also allow, I think, to run different pace of offense. Because Kelsey Plum sometimes gets downhill and goes 1,000 miles an hour, which can be good.
Right.
There's a little more of a measured approach at times with Chelsea Gray. And I like what I saw the other night. And now, but from here, they have to get better on defense. And now this means the bench gets stronger. So should be a good game tonight. It's coming up, 6:30 with the pregame. Aces at home. At the MUA. What else are you doing this weekend? Besides watching the Aces.
Yeah.
I am going out to the ballpark, actually. LV Ballpark.
Okay, you're going to watch
the whatever the bananas are with their offshoots are so popular now. Yeah.
Party animals.
My significant other loved when she went last year, like had a great time. So, yeah, I'm going on Saturday.
Good. Enjoy.
That'll be cool. It should be raucous. And then Copa America has started, and it's USA Men's Soccer. We didn't get to talk about betting that one, but taking on Bolivia, I think that's a – I won't get the time wrong. They're playing on Sunday. And then the Las Vegas games are coming up. So, Griffin, great job. James, have a great weekend. Thanks to the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar in Treasure Island. See ya.